Today's daf is Daf Tzadik Dalet. We're going to start at the Halakha Mishnah on Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Hamocher perot lechaveiro, somebody who's selling tfuah to his friend, areze mekabel alav rova tinofet lesa'a. So he has to accept now one rova. We saw before that a rova, as opposed to a revit, always refers to a rova, a kav, of dirt and various non-usable products, mixed into that sa'a. Now, since there's six kavs in a sa'a, and this is 1/4 of a kav, we're talking about as much as 1 to 24 is basically impurities. Now, if you're talking about te'inim, they're mekabel alav esu metula ot lemi'ah. There you've got another problem, because you've got a certain amount of unusable te'inim that are wormy. So up to 10% can be wormy. Martev shel yayin, we'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara. You buy a wine cellar, mekabel alav eser kosesot lemi'ah. It means you take the 10% of the barrels, can be in a state of starting to turn into vinegar. They're bubbling in the cask. Kan kanim basharon. If you're going to buy kankanim, where they manufactured kankanim, then the typical amount of poor quality ones is mekavel of eser pitasot lemeah. It's 10 poor ones per 100, again 10%. Tani Rav Katina. Rav Katina taught a bright that said rova kitnit lisa'a. When we're talking about junk, we're not talking about dirt over here. Tinofet doesn't mean dirt. It means a mixture of kitniot. That usually, indeed, when you harvest your tu'ah, there's always going to be some kind of kitniot that have grown up between the tu'ah. Because the norm was to basically switch kitniot to tu'ah. They have completely different nutritional needs, plus kitniot tend to fix nitrogen. So because of that, they would rotate. And that would mean that there'd always be a certain amount of kitniot that was growing in a wheat field. This, by the way, is one of the issues of kitniot, where they want to... The Issa, those who are another kitniot on the Pesach, is because of the mixture of wheat with them, and that's why some people want to include other things that are often processed together with wheat. This is one of the big issues of the quinoa. In any event, we're not talking about dirt, we're talking about kitniot. Esther, we're not. Vafrurit lo, do we not also have to accept a certain amount of dirt? Wasn't the mission referring to any kind of junk? V'yomer Rabba Bar Chiya katusva, mishmeda Rabba. Rabba Bar Chiya katusva said in Rabba's name that borer, somebody goes along, and he's borer tzror mi gornoshech haver, thinks he's doing the guy a favor. And he takes out a pebble from the other guy's goren, where he's got his wheat that is ready to dry now. He's got to pay him. Noten lo dmei chitim. He has to pay him the amount of wheat that would fit into the place where that pebble was. Because lamaisa, the stone that's mixed in, is something that he's allowed to sell together with his chitim. But he's certainly not allowed to put it back in. You're only allowed to sell something that accidentally got mixed. So now it turns out that you're causing me direct, at least not literally direct, but certainly garmi, and you're causing me direct identifiable damage, and therefore you're chayef to pay me. But anyway, I mean, it seems clear here that it would be mutter for the molcher to be selling the chita together with the tzoros. And that's afrurit. And you claimed, Rav Katina, that, or your brayta claimed, that it was only actual kitniot, but not gafrurit. Well, that's not a problem. It doesn't say here how much gafrurit, does it? All it says is that you've got to accept gafrurit. So therefore, maybe the kitniot, indeed, as Rav Katina said, is what we mean when we say you have to accept upon yourself a rova, which is a 24th. Afurit, there is certainly a certain amount that you can have mixed in with wheat that's sold, but maybe not that much. So that would be pochot mirova, and that's what Rav Katina was saying, is that when it's referring over here to our Mishnah, to accepting a 24th, that is only referring to kitniot. Ask the Gemara again, Afrurit, Rova, lo. V'atanya, how about this brayta, where it says that you do have to take even a Rova? Hamocher perot l'chaveiro. Somebody who's selling perot. So if you're selling, let's say, chitim. So for chitim, you accept upon yourself mekabel alav Rova kitnit l'sa'a, which of course is completely consistent with Rav Katina. So 1/24 of kitniot, yes. If you're selling se'orin. Se'orin is barley, so then you would mekabel alav Rova nishovet l'sa'a. Over there, you often get a lot of mixed straw in it, so you would have to accept that amount, 1/24. If you're selling lentils, adashim, buying lentils, then the seller is allowed to mix, and you have to accept mekabel alav Rova Afrurit L'sa'a. Over there you would have also a problem. And not perhaps with Kidniot, or not with Nishovet, but you'd have a problem with Afrurit. Now, I mean, isn't it probable that the way to understand the Braita is that we're just talking about what is normally mixed with various things? So, in other words, lentils are generally more dirty, and they're more likely to have dirt, but a little maisa, the brayta seems to be saying, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would assume that my lab, who adin lechitin lesarin, if we're ready to allow 1/24th of dirt with adashim, I mean, so why not with other things if it happens to get mixed in there? So that means that there is no difference between the shear of rova for afrurit to the shear of actual kidney. And says the Gemara, no, you misunderstand the intent of the Braita. It's not talking about just what's norm. It's limiting it to this way. Adashim are very different. The only reason that we're allowing that amount of mixture of dirt is because mi'akir akri lahu. The way that you harvest adashim is by pulling them out by the roots, in which case, obviously, there's going to be a lot more dirt that's going to be found in them because the earth is mixed in it. That's why the buyer has to assume that there'll be that amount, 1/24th. But that doesn't mean that when he buys wheat, he's going to assume that there's that much. Ah, if that's the case, says the Gemara, so then, indeed, we should be able to prove over here that you don't need a rova, don't need to accept that much if it's afurit. Because elotaima, the adashim, the miyakir akrilo. The only reason that we said over here is that there's a rova of afurit is because we're talking about something which is taken straight out of the ground and is not cut, it's uprooted. So over there, you have to accept a rova of afurit. But indeed, it's mashma that if it were chitivis arilo, so then you would not be expected to accept that much dirt. Tifshad mina, so then that indeed proves that chiti v'sa'ari da'afurit lo mikabel. From here you see that only on lentils do you have to be mikabel that, and not on wheat and not on barley. Says the Gemara, well, you certainly can't bring a raya from this braita to Rav Katina, because liolam chiti v'sa'ari mikabel afurit, it may well be that you also have to accept the rova. And the chiddush is that adashim it's trichale. I need to tell you that the shear for adashim is rova, because sakadai tchamina kimin de miyakar akrilu yoter mirova nami lekabel. Since the norm is to pull it out, and a lot of soil comes up with it, so then maybe you'll have to accept more than rova, kamash malan. That even something like adashim only is mechayev the buyer to accept the rova, but it doesn't necessarily prove that chiti v'sa'arim not. Omravuna imbalanat put. If lamaisa, the buyer goes ahead and he doesn't like the way that the what he just bought looks. It looks more dirty than he believes it should be. So he does a little test and he sifts it. And it turns out, sure enough, the thing is really filthy. He's allowed to be menapa et kulo and give every piece of junk back to the seller. Because even though there are klal, he's expected to take a rova, but if lamaisa, the other guy, gave him more, then already he can return the whole thing. Meaning that you can get the difference in his money, or he gets the difference in more wheat to make up the place of the junk. But anyway, it's another 1/24th and whatever it is that he had. You know, it's quite a serious change in the halacha. Why? So some say, Amar Leh Dinah, some say no, there's actually a good reason, la halacha, why we allow him to give back the whole thing. And Amar Leh Knas, others say that no, it's a knas because we suspect some hanky-panky. Amar Leh Dinah, some say it actually makes sense. Why? Because the truth is, a guy who is spending money, he expects to get quality things for his money. So theoretically, he should be expecting to get something that doesn't have any junk in it. However, since lamaisa rova lo tarach inish, since people don't usually take out a rova, because taking out a rova from a so'a is just an awful lot of trouble. So Mamela, in order to avoid taking the trouble of sifting it, he's willing to allow that much grain, so not that much dirt. So in other words, basically the mocher is telling him, look, I'm selling you clean stuff. You know, I mean, either you take my word for it, or if it turns out you want to take the time, you're welcome to take the time, clean it out, you can bring me back, you know, whatever you found. So since he found it like this, he is allowed to return it. So you'll say, so then if that's the case, normally you say that the one who's kone is more willing not to go to the trouble. But I mean, lamaisa, in this case, he did go to the trouble and therefore give it back. So why don't we say that any buyer can do that? In other words, why does it tell you that somebody who found too much can give it back? How come if he just decides, I want to have clean grain, why are you telling me I'm chuyif to accept up to 1/24th? So that already we consider, once we've established normal behavior as being the 1/24th, so we consider him to be just an istanis, and therefore it's not included within the normal terms of sale. But once you've already noted that this is a wrong quality grain, so then absolutely, you have a right to give it all back once you're Toreach. You could be Torach Bekula. You can go ahead now and sift the whole thing, and if it's all too much, you can give it back, the junk. But the other Madi Omer, Amrila, Knas. Some say that actually it's a Knas. Because the point is that Be'emet, if we weren't Cheshet, that the guy mixed it on purpose, then the buyer understands it. Look, you know, this is what it's like. I mean, take a look at the Food and Drug Administration. I mean, how much insect parts are you allowed to have in your children's cereal? This is the reality of life. So then the Rova, okay, the only reason we say Rova and not more is because the Rova is Shchiach, that's normal processing. But the problem is, once you've gone beyond that, it's not really very commonly found. So Yoter lo Shchiach, and therefore we suspect that he did it on purpose. Yehuda Ari, Vekiva the Ari. Once he mixed, then we kenes him. Once we have grounds to believe he mixed, we're going to make him give back every last penny of what he mixed. Then he has to take back every piece of junk the guy found, even the stuff that initially was makabel. So we now have six different riyas lagabi this din of Ravuna. And that's what this siman is. It's a really cute siman because it's called Trei Shtarot, the Rabban Bar of Nachman, or another kablanuta. Any two shtarot the Rabban Bar of Nachman gives out are definitely fraudulent. Not a very nice siman. And there's some type of contractor arrangement. Okay, obviously a more or less meaningless statement that refers to the following dinner. Okay, so meitzvah. First of all, we're going to ask now from kilayim, from a mishnah and a kilayim. Now, we know we're not allowed to mix two different kinds of seeds, but, I mean, there's always a certain amount of other seeds that get mixed in. So over there, we don't force you to take them out. And that shear is same shear, rova for a sa'ab. So the brayta says, kol sa'ar sheish bar rova mimin acher yima'it. If you have a rova of other type of seeds mixed, before you plant it, you're going to have to take down the amount of other seeds because at that point it's kilayim. Now, okay, the truth is there's a machlokus over here as to what happens if you planted it and then see that there's that amount. So according to Rashbam, it doesn't help anymore because once it was the shear of rova l'sa'ah, it becomes also kilayim. But most other rishonim disagree. Because there's no iser. They hold bichlal. There's a tremendous mistake over here because there's no iser that takes that gives chal on the actual peres except in klei akeret, not in klei zroyim. So the only way to understand the Mishnah is to be mamayit at any point. It doesn't matter whether it's before you plant or after you plant. But anyway, the Rashbam holds to the stafka talking about before. Now, savruah, the assumption that we made here. So the assumption behind this entire kasha that we're about to ask is havruah de rova de kilayim kiyoter mi rova de hacha. Basically, what we're assuming here is that the shear vis-a-vis kilayim that is one rova per sa'ah, and that's the iser, so you have to get it down to below that. But it's basically the same halacha as the more than one rova per sa'ah, which invalidates the mechira in this case. And it says over here, yima'et. So, l'chora, all you need to do is to go back to where you were before. You don't have to go all the way down and get rid of every last piece of seed that isn't of the same kind. Now, the problem is that, so according to Rav Huna, you have to get rid of every last bit. Once already you're starting, then you need to complete it. And over here, where we're talking about a very chomer iser, which is something that's deraita, that's not up to Bezdin. Nonetheless, they're not machmer on you to say that, you know, once you're starting already, clear up the whole thing. So that wouldn't we say for sure that that's true lagabi mechira, where over there the whole thing is dependent on the way Bezdin envisions the thing in the first place? I mean, after all, hefker Bezdin hefker. So all they needed to say is yima'et, and then it would be the way that it was. So how do you explain that according to Rav Huna, you'd have to go all the way down? Now, obviously, we'd be able to distinguish between the two dinim, because, I mean, there's really no connection if you think about it. The reason about kilayim that we're going to be not as makbid is that when we're talking about the mechir, we're talking about mechila. And over there, the person is mochel that amount because of the tircha. But once he's going to already need to be toreach, he's not mochel. So over that point, he's already, once he started, it's already kedai for him to clear the whole thing out and to give it back. But that means that this has absolutely nothing to do with the sugya. The truth is, we could have said that, and it's just that we have other things to say, as the Rishonim point out, which we're soon going to say. The other issue is that we're only asking this if it would be dependent on the shita that Rav Huna is going dina, and that knasa, if it's knasa, we're certainly going to say over here that the guy did something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He's got a bag of seeds he bought from the store. The question is how much he has to be a mamayid. So there's really a lot of things here that are make it not all that powerful akasha, but in any event, how does the Gemara approach what appears to be on some level a question by simply saying that the original assumption, says the Gemara, there was something wrong with your original assumption. That's why we don't even bother getting into the other issues. No, actually, Rova de Kelayim is Kirova de Achadami. It isn't true. You were assuming that because we have more than, we have a Rova here, and the halacha is that you're only allowed the less than a Rova. And if you have actually a rova, you're already going beyond. So that would be this similar to over here, going beyond the rova and getting above a rova, which Alibi Rav Huna meant that it needed to be mamuat completely. But that's not true. The halach is that a rova, the kelaim, is actually mutter. And that's why you don't have to be mamayit all the way down. So you can only be mamayit beneath the level of the rova. It could be enochinami. If you had more than a rova, then maybe the Mishnah would have been mechayiv you to take away everything, just like Rav Huna. Understand what you're saying. It says over here, Yamayit. Yamayit means that the Rova is not good. So what are you telling me, Yamayit, is that actually Rova is the correction? So then why do I have to take anything out? I should be able to use it as is. Exactly the same way that I sell as is a mixture of solet inside of the grain. It's different, says the Gemara. The truth is, the Ikra din, you really could plant it the way it is. But Mishum Chumra, the Kilai, talking about an Isra de Raisa over here, it's the Rabbanan already, we're Machmer, you shouldn't even come close to Kilai. He said, okay, you know what? Make a little bit less. But the truth is that Mikra din, even this was Mutter. So because of that, we're not going to be Machaivi to take it all the way down to zero. But had you gone beyond the Shear, then maybe in Ekinami we would have. So this really has nothing to do with our case at all. Says the Gemara, but if that's true, that we're talking only because of the Chumah of the Kilayim, so the Yochim HaSeifa. How do you explain that Rabbi Yossi Omer Yavur? Rabbi Yossi says you do have to take every last bit out, so that there can't be any Zrayim from a different mean mixed in. So, I mean, until now I understood it, because Yamit Bishlemek Yotermi Rova Tinovetami. If you're going to tell me that the din of a Rova, in terms of Kilayim, is Osir, and it's the equivalent of more than a Rova of Tinovet, then I could say that's the Machlok, because it's Tanakam Rabbi Yossi. Because Bokam Ithik, Tanakam Besova Lokatsidon Atero to Isura. So then the Tanakama would hold, now here we've sort of switched to it being Knas, as opposed to it's being the Iker Hadin, which is a little bit confusing. And in fact, some take out the word Katina. But in any event, we wouldn't have said, according to this, that Alibet Tanakama, that we have to worry about the additional amount, and Rav Yossi Sofer Kansina. So that they would basically be arguing in Rav Huna. The Tanakama doesn't agree with Rav Huna, and Rav Yossi does agree with Rav Huna. But if you're going to tell me, he Amrit, Kerova Dami, that actually a quarter over a year of a kav is the din that it's the same as the quarter of the kav there, meaning that both of them are mutter, and that's what I'm allowed to have, and therefore all I'm doing is being machmer because of the chumra of kilayim. So how could Rabbi Yossi? Certainly, Rabbi Yossi could go so far as to say that I have to take out every last bit. Am I over? Okay, so, I mean, Lamaisa, all that we have over here as a problem is that it turns out that Rav Huna is only going on Liban Rav Yossi, which we certainly could have said. There's no question. But, I mean, what we're trying to do over here is make it not dependent on Machlokas Tanoim. It's not that this is a fatal attack. Certainly it would be shaykh to say that the Rav Huna has a Tana that's great kavosa. Answers the Gemara, the truth is that the reason Rav Yossi is Machmir is a different one. Since Lamaisa, this guy is doing the work of taking out the other seeds. So now what's left behind is basically what he's allowed to leave behind. So that means it's as if he's saying, I want to plant Kilayim. I know that this is bound in there, and I'm bedafka not taking it out. So if that's the case already, it looks like he wants to go out L'chatchila to plant Kilayim. So basically, if he didn't have to deal with it at all, fine. Yeah, you buy a package of seed, you plant a package of seed. But once already you're sitting there taking it out, Titus Rabbi Yossi, it's a problem of the Chumra of Kilayim. It's not a din that could possibly be applicable over here. Now it becomes Chumra because it appears to be an actual Zriya of Kilayim. Okay, so now we're learning that basically, you can have a rova, a kav, in a saw, and we're only trying to be machmir when it comes to kelayim, and Rav Yossi is only coming to be super machmir because it looks like he's being mekayim kelayim. So therefore, it's not negeya ravuna. Okay, let's take a look and see if we can show that Ravuna is wrong from this. Toshma. Here we have now a Mishnah that we had above Metzia, in which Shnayim Shivkido Etzel Chat, Zem Onav Zem Atayim. You have two people that gave one banker a hafkada. So they make a deposit. One guy deposits 100 zuts, and another guy puts in 200 zuts. Zelmer matayim shli v'zelmer matayim shli. Now, obviously, each one wants back 200 zuts, and this guy doesn't remember. So what do you do? Notein lezemon of lezemon. You give each one the money. Certainly, at the minimum, he deposited a money. The rest you'll have to wait until the Navi comes and tells you which one it is. So you see from here that even though there is a liar, that we're not kenes him to lose his money. So since over here we should have the same chashash that we have by finding more than is normal to find of dirt mixed in, or psoilus mixed in. So I'll leave it to Ravuna, we should be kenes. So in this case we should also be kenes, not to give anybody. Let it all wait until we know who's lying. Says, no, what are you talking about? Okay, Ashta. Awesome. In the case of the Mishnah Bar Metzia, the din is that I give each one a mana because vade mana lamar. We know for a fact that each one has this. So I'm going to take away from him something that belongs to him, to be kenes him. But ahocha, miyemed alav kulei aruvei arifa. You know for a fact that he has a right to sell any of this junk. Maybe he put in all of the junk himself. Since we clearly see that there's more than is allowable. So if that's the case, it makes sense to say that there he has to take all of the junk back. What does that have to do with our case where we know that he definitely has a mana? So we're not going to take away what his vada is because of the fact that he might be lying, demanding more. Okay, so if that's the case, then I have a raya to Ravuna because now Tashmami Seifa. Omer Reb Yossi, in Cain, Maiv Sidaramai. Reb Yossi said, in this case, we're going to give everybody a mana. So he doesn't stand to lose anything. Since he doesn't stand to lose anything, then there's no reason why people shouldn't just frivolously try to get back and cause the other guy to lose his money. So leave it to Reb Yossi, exactly as Ravuna said. You have to set aside the whole thing, and we're kind of him basically on the chash that he's claiming illegally more than he should. Isn't that the same thing as over here? Chash that he mixed more than he should. So now he has to take it all back. Says the Gemara, it's still not right because of Yashta. Hatam Vada Ikarama. In this case, one of these guys is trying to get back more than he gave. So over there, Reb Yossi says, look, if there's a Ramai, we have to be mafsid the Ramai. We don't have any clear raya that anybody was Isaac and Ramaut at all. All we're saying is that since there's so much more than is normal to find of dirt that's mixed in, we have a chashash that there's a Ramai. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that Reb Yossi would be willing to be kainei somebody because there's a chashash that there's a Ramai. Perhaps only if there's vadei Ramai. Toshma, let's see if we can bring a raya to Ravuna from this bright. Shtashi Ishbo repeat. So here somebody writes out a shtar, and he wants to use it now to be gove a loan that he made with interest, of course as it is. So he can't even get the actual principal of the loan. So says Rabbi Meir. So you see that this is exactly like Ravuna, who holds it once already. You did it partially wrong, then you have to take back everything, right? Says the Gemara, not right. Okay, Ashna. How to mishat k'tiva with David Suma? The Isra over here is lo tasimun alav neshek. Lo tasimun doesn't mean to take. It means to put it down in a shtar. To set it as what he's going to have to pay. Yet you were already over on that. So that's why Rabbi Meir is going to be kones you. Because he's saying you definitely did an Isra right already. But over here, how do we know that anybody did anything wrong? So, since it could have been an accident, who's to say Rabbi Meir would ever have agreed with something like that? Okay, says the Gemara, maybe, actually, we could use that braita to bring a raya against Ravuna. Tashmami Seifa. Chachamim Omri, Gove Takeren, they know Gove Taribit. You see, that Inokinami, Adlibe Rabbonim, as opposed to Ravuna, who holds that we apply the Knas even on the part that would normally have a right to. So the Chachamim say, no, we don't apply a knas to the keren. Again, it's no comparison. I'm in the case of a loan. The keren is 100% a tear, right? You didn't do anything wrong with giving the guy a loan. But here, the whole point is we're saying that everything that we're asking the guy to return is illegal, that it was put in on purpose, which you had no right to do. But here, what are we going to say? You shouldn't collect the loan? I mean, the loan itself, the principal is clearly yours. So therefore, there's no comparison from this either. Says the Gemara Toshma, let's bring a riot to Ravuna from the Tani Ravin Bar of Nachman. Ravin Bar of Nachman learns in the Mishnah later on, there's a question over there, how exactly to read the Mishnah. So Ravin Bar of Nachman, as we're going to see in a couple of weeks, that he says that if the din, when somebody sells someone a beit kur of karka, that the halacha over there is that even if it's slightly more than a beit kur, if it's not more than a rova kav per each beit sa'ah, so then it's included already in the price you paid for the karka. If it's more than that, so then you have to return it. Okay, so now, what the important part to us, the Gabi Rav Huna, is that the Tani Ravin Bar of Nachman, if you find that it's more indeed than a Rova Akav for a Sa'ah, for a Beit Sa'ah, then Lo Atamotar Bevadu Magzir, Ela Magzir Lot Kol HaRovim Kula. Once you already went beyond, then you have to give the whole thing back to him. So then that seems to be saying exactly what Rav Huna is saying. There it has to do with how many. You're only allowed basically up to 30 rova'im. If you have more than that, you have to give everything back. So you see that L'chora Rav Huna is absolutely right. Once you're giving it back, you got to give back everything. That kulei mahadar, says the Gemara. Again, it's not comparable at all. What's the comparison? The question over there is that the way that the mocher the karka sells that karka is by saying that I am hein chaser hein yatir omarle. I'm selling you a beit kur, approximately. Slightly more, maybe slightly less. So then that addition is the reason that you're allowed to keep, really, a little bit more. That's the point. Now, the truth is that we come out over there that it doesn't mean he has to actually say that, but effectively, that's the understanding of what he's saying if he doesn't make any statement to the otherwise. If he says a beit kur, it means approximately a beit kur. Hein cheser, hein yeter. So in which case, then I'm merkel up to a rova lesa. All right, so since he's basically saying that, he meant because revia lo chashiv. So in other words, if he's giving only a revia, a rova per sa'ah, so then I'm selling you so much land, I'm not makben on it. Now, this seems to be the Rashbam's girsa, not to have this little piece that says, kiven de chazili, it's the rufi b'di shakabim, have the arach hashiva b'apin hafsha, but rather that the idea over here is that since I was meichel originally, it's because it's not considered to be chashiv. So mi'u, revia lo chashiv, yetim revia is chashiv. So once it hits the point at which it is chashiv, such as this case where you've got a lot of them, so then at that point, I no longer was meichel anything. My mechil was on non-chashivas, and this is chashivas. Mashenken, when it comes to the case of the mixing of the tarodes, it's not as if it's the equivalent of saying chashivo yeter. It's basically just that I'm assuming that there's a certain amount of impurities. So I mean, once you're assuming a certain amount of impurities, who's to say that you're not meichel? Those impurities, we're going to say now that you could take back the whole thing, for what possible reason? What does that have to do with the case over here? Hamocher perot lechaveru is a mekabel of rovatin ofet lesaah teini mekabel of eser metulot lemeyah amartev shayay mekabel of eser kosesot lemeyah kan kanim b'sharon mekabel of eser pitasot lemeyah tani rav katina rova kidniot lesaah afurid lo v'yomer rabba parchia kutusfa mishmei the rabba borer tzor migorno shechaveru noten lo demei chitim. Okay, yeah, kidni the whole rova afurid pachot min rova. Avrid rova lo, v'atanya mocha peret l'chaviro chitim mekabel av rova kitnit l'sa'a, sorin mekabel av rova nishovet l'sa'a, adashim mekabel av rova afrurit l'sa'a. So my love what in l'chitim l'sa'orin? No, it's only adashim, d'miyaka akrilu. Oh, so let's be medayik the opposite. At the time of the adashim, d'miyaka akrilu, avachitiv esori lo. So then the opposite, tivshat minachitiv esori d'afrurit lo mekabel. Liolam chiti v'sarai also would be a mekabel afruid. The chiddush over here is adashim mitzvichalei. Sag that chamina kimin miyakar akar lo yotim and rov and nami lekab. Kamash malan. Omer Ravuna imba l'napot menapet kulo. Amr ladina varmer leknas. Amr ladina mandi yoiv zuzi apire shapir yoiv. V'rova, it's just because of torachinish. Yotim and rov and torachinish. But once he's tarach bakulei. V'amr leknasa. Rova shkiach, yotem rova lo shkiach. Therefore, we suspect that Yehu the Ariv, even the Ariv, consider Rabbanan bekulei. Meitve. Kol sa'ah sheyesh bo rova mimin acher, yima'it. So savrua. The rova dekelayim, ki yotem rova dahacha, v'katana yima'it. Lo. Rova dekelayim, ki rova dahacha dami. What? So why is he being memayit? That's not. It's an extra chumra mishum chumra de kalayim. See, yachi ema seifa. How could it be only a chumra of kalayim if Rabbi Yossi Omer yivor to the bitter end? So then it's the equivalent of more, in our case, of yotami rova tinofetami. So they're goof arguing in a machlokas between Ravuna, whether you're the Ravuna or not. Tanakam is over Lokatsina, Teratos, Rav Yossi, Sova Kansina. But if you're going to tell me that it's the equivalent of Kirova, how could anybody say Yivar? At the many time of Rav Yossi. Bishum, once you're already going through it and you leave it there, now it's Bichsik Mekayim Kelai. Toshma, Shnayim Shiv Kido Eitzelechat. Zemon of Zematayim. Zemon of Atayim Shili, Zemon of Atayim Shili. Noten lezemon and lezemon and v'shayim munachat shevoi liyo. Nu, what's the comparison? Achi ashta. Hotam vade mona lamar mona lamar. Hocham yemid lav kulei aruve yorid. Tashvami seifa. Om Rav Yossi imkein maiv sidra mai. El akoyim munachat shevoi liyo. Yeah, but still, achi ashta. Hotam vade ikara mai. Hocham yemid aruve yorid. At all. Tashma, shtar shiesh bo ribit. Kontzino tovenu goa loa takar vloa tibrib. Divrebi meir. Again, Afiyashta. Hata Mishata Ktiva, who the Ovad Leisuma was over on the Yisrael right. Hocha Miyemada Ruvi Orif. Tashma Misefa, Vechachonim Omrim. Goveta Karen Venu Goveta Ribit. Again, Afiyashta. Hata Mvada Ikana De Teru. But Hocha Miyemada Kulalo Orvi Ruvi. Tashma De Toni Ravim Barav Nachman. Loata Motar Bilvadu Magzir. Ela Magzir Lo Et Kola Revaim Kulan. Alma echad boi adure kulam ahadir. Achi hashta. Hatam, hein chaser, hein yater, is essentially omarle. Mi revia lo chashiv, but yet the revia is chashiv. Given the chaser, it's terrific with the shakabi. Havali hara chashivata, babi nafsha, vahadra.